turning our attention now to the reading of God's Word, to the fifth chapter of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. I'll read from verse 8 to the end, through verse 20, verses 8 through 20. Ephesians chapter 5. Dear people, this being the word of God, let us hear it. Beginning 5, verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord? Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people say, Amen. Heavenly Lord, bless this word to us, our hearts, our minds. For we are in and wish to be in your presence, being taught, instructed by none other than the Spirit of Christ. It's in your name we ask, Lord. It's in your name we ask these things. Amen. You've heard the scripture from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. To everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven. And singing from Psalm 90, one of the verses, one of the stanzas, time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all its sons away. They fly forgotten as a dream dies at the opening day. Time. Time is something that is extremely, extremely important. It is something I think all of us have said at one time or another, I haven't time. There aren't enough hours in the day. I wish there was more time for this. Time is very much involved in everything we think, say, and do in the here and now. We live in the moment. The idea is, are we living just in that moment, drifting along from moment to moment, day to day, week too weak, and so on, like the rest of the world? Or are we redeeming the time as we are taught here and told in verses 15 and 16? See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So I want to talk about first redeeming the time. How do we do that? Coming to the second point, by walking circumspectly. Why do we do that? Coming to the third point, because the days are evil. Those three points from these verses: redeeming the time, walking circumspectly, because the days are evil. The days being evil. Now, do you know what the apostle here is saying in the Greek when he says, redeem the time, redeeming the time? The word in this context means to buy time, buying time. We are called here to buy time, to redeem time, to, in other words, take in any and every opportunity that the Lord provides in His providence, not by chance evolution or anything like that, but by His providence, introduces into your life, brings into your life. Take the time, the opportunity to do the best with it. That is buying the time. Taking it seriously. You know, putting your money where your mouth is, so to speak, with the time that the Lord gives you. Now, the world has nothing to do with this, right? The world is a joke. Even the sophisticated scientific world, which thinks that they can buy more time through medicine, through technology, that you can find a cure for all disease. You can live at least 125, 135 years without disease. And they put their hopes in that kind of thing. Medicine that has found precious few real bona fide cures. No cure for disease. Few. Thousands of years we've eradicated smallpox, almost polio. But they could come back, you know. We're not immune to them if they come back. It's about it. A couple of thousand years. But that's what the world invests in. That's what the godless and the unholy mind think of. Yet everything is governed by time. It is a tyrant over us. And it moves every one of us in its inevitable direction, and that is into the grave. Apart from God, apart from Christ, what's the end of this? all we can say is what the wise writer of Ecclesiastes said. All is vanity. Vanity of vanities. What's the sense? What's the use? We're all going to die. But because of Christ and the proper interpretation of this verse in the context, time is redeemed. Jesus Christ is the center of all time and history, right? The Bible tells us in the fullness, the right and ripe time, Christ came, born of a woman, placed under the law to die, to redeem us from sin, and to rise again, to redeem time itself. So the cross and the resurrection, well, the cross is the centerpiece of all time. The resurrection is the redemption of a people for God. And not only a people, but all of creation. Right? Jesus did not come just to redeem the elect. He came to redeem them, absolutely, every single one of the elect and chosen of God. But he came to redeem the entire creation and make it a new heaven and a new earth. So Christ redeems time. He is now the ruler of it all. And he is leading everything to its conclusion. We, for now, as his children, continue our pilgrimage through this barren world, spiritually speaking. Strangers and aliens journeying through time. Our calling is to redeem it, to redeem the time that God providentially gives to us each and every day. We are to find peace in Christ. No peace in this world. No contentment in this place. Not ultimately. Not really. Not actually. We strive then to live according to kingdom principles. We apply them to our life at home, at school, at work, recreation, and at church. All these things, the things of our lives, must be considered according to kingdom principles that come from the Word, not from man's ideas or other people or governments or science or education or anything like that, but come from his Word. That's the only way to redeem the time as Paul means it here, as Christ has given it to us, according to kingdom principles. Because Christ is the Redeemer, and he set forth an example for us to walk in, to follow. Now, how are we to redeem this time? Let's get a little specific about it. We're convinced that we ought to do this because it's right there, as clear as day. We know what it means now, right? to buy that time? To understand that the days of our lives are given to us by God, and He sovereignly controls it, and He's leading them to a conclusion, which is the return of Jesus Christ, the establishment of His kingdom here on earth, in the new heavens and the new earth, to bring everything to an end that is still going on, to end time. Okay. Redeem the time. How so, Lord? Well, He says in verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." What's a wise man? According to Scripture, who is the wise man or woman? Well, it's the person that is in touch with reality. A fool is a person who may know what reality is, but ignores it or walks contrary to it. Now, the reality is that we are all heading for death, and after death, the judgment. That's reality, according to the Bible, from the fall of man, way back in Genesis, to the return of Jesus Christ. Man and all of creation is under judgment. You see it every day in every way. And it's all going to end up in death, destruction, and damnation. Everything and everyone. No escaping. The fool knows that too, but he ignores it. He's out of touch with reality. And so to walk circumspectly is obviously to be in tune with what is really taking place, what is going on, who is in control, and where He's taking everything. And we have to consider our lives based on that reality, that Christ is coming, and when He does, it's all going to end, and it's going to end terribly for anyone who is not associated and does not have a relationship and is not in communication and worshiping and adoring Him in his life in every way, but is taking it for granted and is going this way and that way. And it has all these goals and purposes which are all going to conclude in the dust. The fool says in his heart, in word, if not in word, in his or her deed, "There is no God. He's not involved in my life. I have to make out my own destiny. I have to make up my own mind. I have to do my own thing, pursue my own dreams," rather than take into account at every level of his or her life and experience God, the Scripture, the Word. That's walking circumspectly, considering the end and who is in control of the end. What's the word mean? Well, to be circumspect is to be observant, right? It's to see and to look at everything around you. To be very cautious and careful. The opposite is to be careless. The fool is careless. He knows there's a God. He didn't create himself. He knows that there's an end. an end to everything, including his life. He ignores it. He eats, drinks, and is merry. And covets the pleasures and the treasures of this world. And he thinks that his days are going to continue until, well, perhaps he gets so sick. And then after that, well, whatever. That's the fool, right? That's the one who is walking carelessly and not carefully, not observing the fact that God is moving everything and everyone to a conclusion. And you cannot resist it. It's compelling. God forces the reprobate into their sin. He pushes them along in time to work out their dastardly deeds and services according to their own will. Dear people, we need to teach our children. And there are enough children here to be reminded of them, who they are. We need to, as children, they need to learn about God's word. They need to learn how to pray. They need to be taught and develop their thinking along biblical lines. We need to fill their minds with the Word of God, with the songs of Zion, with the prayers of the saints. As I've said once before, well, I've said it more than once before, you need to establish at home a family altar. There, I've told you. Please, do not ignore it. Children need to walk circumspectly. How are they going to do that? Young people. Now we're getting into a little higher group of age group of people, particularly teenagers. Young people, and as they get a little older, moving towards adulthood, into young adult, that will be their strongest time, if you will. They're at full strength, at full capacity. They're coming to fruition in many things. Young people are encouraged by the Word of God to listen to God, to grow in the grace and understanding of God. I have written unto you young men, for example, because you are strong and the Word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. To take time to study the Word, to review what you've learned, to talk about it, to pray about it, to invest yourself in God's ways. Don't say with the rest of them, I don't have the time, I'm too busy, there's so many things to do. I have to get done, I have to study something else, not the Word of God, but something else. I have to go here or do this or meet this friend or that. Young people need to walk circumspectly. Learn how to do that. Learn it from the Word of God. Parents need to raise their families, need to establish a home, a holy home, a biblical home. And every one of us, needs to learn how best to use his time and talents for the glory of God and make the centerpiece of life the church, the bride of Jesus Christ, not your school or even your home or whatever else, the Bible, this book, which you probably, if you're doing that, you don't understand what the Bible's saying. You're not alone. The kingdom of God on earth is not Peter Pagliotti or Paul or Mary or Sue. It is not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God on earth is the church of Jesus Christ, where the word of God is preached by God's ordained ministers, directed and watched over by his ordained and chosen elders, where the sacraments are administered truly, faithfully, according to the word of God, which is everywhere, and where discipline is established. It's not the individual only. Very important. Why? Why do we need to do all this, Pastor? Why do we need to pay attention at home, whether we're young or old, glorifying the church of Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ? Why do we do that? Because, he says right here, redeeming the time, verse 16, because the days are evil. Now, Paul was writing at the time when the wicked, corrupt, dark Roman Empire, right? The Roman Empire ruled the world, the known world practically, was there. And he was saying the days that we're living in to the Ephesians were evil. Well, has that changed? Are the days now evil? Where in the world is a Christian leader? What nation has a purely, truly Christian leader? We come close to you. We have vice president who is a Christian. He's the vice president. Maybe Trump, I don't know. I heard he is, but I don't know. The way he lived before, it's not the case, but maybe now. I don't know. But where in the world is a Christian leader? The whole world is ruled by the heathen and the godless and the pagans and the people that have committed themselves to this world and are not redeeming the time for sure, for sure. The days are evil. And you say, well, we're more advanced now. But what do we do with the advancements? Whether it's in medicine, science of some sort, technologies, what do we do with them? We press them, the communications, especially the communications, how advanced is that, right, these days? We press everything into the service of sin. The days are evil. They say, I don't know if it's true, there are more people that are martyred for Jesus Christ in the world today, in the last 20, 50 years that have been martyred for Christ, than in all previous times combined. Persecution. Suffering. Contrariness. Errors. Sins. They're all over the place. And you know and I know. So the reason why we ought to redeem the time and to walk circumspectly is because the day in which we live is no better, and I think far worse than the days than the day that Paul was writing here under the Roman Empire. I know some of you think that sin doesn't develop. It surely does. I mean, it's not. I don't see your logic or your reasoning. But even if you do believe that it doesn't change, it's still evil. It's far worse today. Take it from one that knows. Far worse today. So much so that we wonder, as they have in the past, but now, Lord, enough is enough. When are you going to return? The evil of our day, if we open our eyes, if we're circumspect, if we're looking around and seeing everything and taking in the whole picture, even the condition of the church, because the world has entered into the church, right? And so many churches have become worldly. And I'm not saying that we should abide those churches, but certainly the true churches, which are so precious, they're like, oh, golden nuggets in this world. A true church of Jesus Christ, where the word is upheld and the sacraments are properly administered, and there is some church discipline. It's not perfect, realize that, but some church discipline. There isn't any in so many places. Not any. And the sacraments are willy-nilly. And the people don't even think they're necessary. And the preaching of God's word, well, what's that? You could take it or leave it. I'd rather stay at home, read my Bible, and talk to my wife or talk to my husband about it. Oh, yeah. Mr. and Mrs. Christian Heavy. No. This is not what Paul's writing here. He's speaking to the church, right? The bride of Christ. He's speaking to us by the Spirit. He's saying, look around you. Open your eyes. Don't you get the incentive that the days are so evil in which we live, so evil they've sucked in our children. And now our grandchildren. Isn't that incentive enough to walk circumspectly and redeem the time now before it's too late and the kids go astray? They're not going astray already, along with you. We're to look to Christ, the captain of our salvation, right? We ought to watch and to pray to the one that said in Revelation, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I am bringing everything to a conclusion, and when I come, that's it. Focus your attention on me, what I say, what I do. Let us pray. Heavenly Lord, bless us on our way. Help us to take seriously this word, and I know we do. The problem is we need to take it more seriously. And to redeem the time. Walk circumspectly according to your word. Open eyes, because the day is evil. We believe it. Settle it in our mind's heart. In our heart's mind, rather. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's